here in the Space Coast with the gospel of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. You are in tune to 1510 AM WWBC, Coco, Merritt Island, Melbourne, Titusville, as well as W234BI, Coco, Rockledge, Merritt Island, Titusville and the Beaches.
Let's keep in step with God and do something that is alive and moving. That's the inspiration our teacher, Dr. J. Vernon McGee, has for us today on Through the Bible. Welcome to Through the Bible. Today, our five-year journey through God's entire Word stops in 1 Chronicles chapters 22 and 23 as we survey David's life from God's point of view. I'm Steve Schwetz, inviting you to hop aboard the Bible bus while we enjoy a few letters from our fellow passengers. First, we hear from Martina in Florida. I love Through the Bible's radio ministry. I listen every day. I thank God for this program and ask Him to bless your ministry. Dr. McGee makes each lesson so exciting and interesting, even some of the books in the Old Testament, like Numbers, that I didn't understand very well and thought were boring, have come alive because of his insight and wisdom. Everything Dr. McGee taught so long ago is amazingly still relevant today. Thank you all for helping me grow in God's grace and truth. I feel so encouraged as I study the Bible along with my fellow passengers. I'm also thrilled to announce that after 2 years of no income and health issues, I am now able to give a small monthly donation. May Jesus continue to bless your wonderful ministry as you continue to take His whole word to the whole world. Well, thanks so much for your email, Martina. We're so grateful for your prayers and financial support that keep the Bible bus going in your neighborhood and in more than 200 languages worldwide. You know, if God is calling you to join Martina and other faithful friends of Through the Bible in providing gas or a new set of tires for the Bible bus, visit our website at ttb.org/give or call us at 1-800-65-BIBLE. Next is an email that we got from Doug in Clarkville, Pennsylvania. Since 2008, I have held a small home Bible study in my basement. Together, we are going through Dr. McGee's five-year study. It has been a tremendous blessing to me and to others who come. It was Dr. McGee's teaching which prompted me to begin reading my Bible as a matter of habit. I now read through the entire Bible once each year. Well, thanks so much, Doug, and may God bless you and your group as you study His Word together. And then finally, we hear from Ricky in Romney, West Virginia. Thank you for your program. I listen to your app on my phone and also on XM's Family Talk. I'm a truck driver who is glad to be able to learn about God and the Bible while I am riding down the road. Thank you again for growing my faith through walking through the Word with you. Well, it's great to hear from you, Ricky. Thanks for joining us on the Bible bus and safe travels to you. Let's pray for one another now. Heavenly Father, thank you for your word that teaches us more about you and your work in our lives. Open our hearts, Lord, to the plans that you have for each one of us. Help us to be faithful to your purpose. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Here's Through the Bible with Dr. J. Vernon McGee.
Now, friends, we come back today to the 22nd chapter of 1 Chronicles, and I'm putting in at verse 10 today. Now, when we began this 22nd chapter, I indicated last time that we were in the last division that we have of 1 Chronicles. We have here David's preparation and organization for building the temple. And that's from chapter 22 through chapter 29, the remainder of this book. Now, all of this is relative to David's preparation for building the temple. He did not build it. He's talking in this chapter to his son Solomon, and he explains two things. One thing is that God won't let him build it, that he's a bloody man, but that his son Solomon, a man of peace, will build the temple, but that he has gotten together all the material. He's got the place for it. And he's already organized the building of it. His friend Hiram, king of Tyre, will furnish the stone. And this is something that I think you need to know. All the way now from chapter 22 through chapter 29, we have the organization, the gathering of materials, and the enthusiasm of David for building the temple. God would not let him build it. That's one thing. David giving all of his attention to this very important matter. Now, the second thing is, I must repeat it again, 1 Chronicles gives us God's viewpoint. Now, God's viewpoint is that the temple is the most important project that David had in mind. Now, David had a housing project. We saw that. He built many houses in Jerusalem. He had urban development. He began all that. But that was not the important thing. The important thing was the building of the temple. Why? My friend, until a man or a people are right with Almighty God, may I say that all of these subsidiary subjects, they must sink into insignificance until that first is established. Now, when that is established, then urban development is important. Then a poverty program is very much in order. David had a poverty program. When he brought the ark up, why, I tell you, he had a line up of folk that were there. They all had food stamps, and they were there in line, and David was handing out the groceries. Why? Well, because the spiritual part has been settled. Now today, there is corruption in governments moving into urban development, corruption in the poverty program. We hear of corruption today in government. And the news seems to think that if you put the emphasis on these material things, you've solved the problems of the world. My friend, man is far from solving the problems of the world because he hasn't solved the major problem, and the major problem is a relationship with God. And that temple speaks of that relationship with God. It speaks also of that which is spiritual. From God's viewpoint, that was important. And in this book that gives us God's viewpoint, it's not what we had back in 1 and 2 Kings. It wasn't continual warfare and intrigue and petty things. Now it's the high and lofty business of establishing a right relationship with God. And actually, when you begin to look back at history, it's quite interesting. We think today of Great Britain, the nation that for many years ruled the world. The saying was that the sun never set on the British Empire. Control more of the world than probably any other nation ever has. Tremendous influence that Great Britain had. Oh, you can criticize them. I recognize that. They were not any more perfect than we are. But they, at one time, ruled the world. And when you begin, though, to look back at history, it wasn't really what took place in 10 Downing Street. It actually wasn't what really took place in Parliament. It wasn't what took place under old Big Ben over there, that great clock. You know, probably the most important thing was when a young fellow by the name of John Wesley went upstairs down at Aldersgate. Thank God for that, because we're still reaping benefits from that. And then right down the street from there, not very far, there is the place where Wesley began his preaching. There's a graveyard there. They put him out. The organized church did. The state church. He went out and stood on a tombstone, started preaching, moved into the fields. And there came a spiritual movement that even Lloyd George said that John Wesley is the greatest Englishman that ever lived, did more for the British Empire. But I want to tell you that that day, the television program and the radio programs and the newspapers and the magazines didn't think it was very important, that young man out there preaching on a tombstone. But he saved Great Britain. That is, he was God's instrument for saving Great Britain from a revolution and enabled them to begin a movement that brought civilization throughout the world. And you can belittle a colonial policy all you want to, and Great Britain bogged down and was as wrong as we've ever been. But the important thing is, there was a movement that sent missionaries throughout the world, and it brought a civilizing and Christian influence throughout the world. And my friend, I think the most prejudiced person in the world can look back and say those days were better than these days. and that this godless age in which we're living is not getting anywhere, may I say to you, you want God's viewpoint? God says, David began to prepare to build that temple. That was all important to me. That's more important than battles he fought, more important than the wars he fought. In fact, it's more important than anything that David ever did. We are now considering that. Now David's talking to his son, Solomon. I don't think he was very much interested in having Solomon become king. He was a pennywaist anyway. Lord Jesus said, when you went out to see John the Baptist, what'd you go out to see? Did you go out to see a reed shaken by the wind? No, you saw a wind shaking reeds. What'd you go out to see? Man with soft clothing? No, he's rugged. Camel's hair, rugged individual. May I say to you, the Lord Jesus said those with soft clothing, the pennywaists, are in king's palaces. Solomon was brought up there. He's brought up in the court of the women. One of the reasons Solomon put around him so many women, he's accustomed to that. He wasn't accustomed to out yonder in the rugged terrain of that land, defending himself as his father David was. And I'm not carrying any sort of excuse for David, because he wasn't a very good father. But believe me, David and Solomon were far apart. And the explanation is found, of course, in their background. And so David now is talking to his son Solomon. He says, you're going to build a temple. Oh, I want to encourage you and get you enthusiastic about it, because it was in my heart. But God wouldn't let me, because I'm a bloody man. May I say to you, don't come by and say, oh, David was a man after God's own heart and he got by with anything. He wasn't enabled to do the thing he wanted to do above everything on top side of this earth. That was build God a temple, and God wouldn't let him. My friend, there's been many a man today because of sin in his life, and God has never let him reach the goal he wanted to reach. Sin drags us all down. It dragged David down. Listen to him. Verse 10, he shall build an house for my name. He's speaking of Solomon. He shall be my son, I'll be his father, and I'll establish the throne of his kingdom over Israel forever. And David says to Solomon, this is what God told me, you'd be his son, and that you would build a temple, and you'd establish your throne, for it's my throne. He'll establish it forever. Now, my son, the Lord be with thee, and prosper thou, and build the house of the Lord thy God, as he hath said of thee. My house. David was encouraging this boy, and he knew he needed encouraging. After all, he had soft clothing. He'd been brought up in the court of the women, and he's not a very aggressive fella. Solomon reaped the benefits of the reign of David. It can be said truly of him as the Lord Jesus said, other men have labored. We've entered in to their labors. Solomon entered into the labors of another, and that was his father David. Now he says, listen to him here. Verse 12, only the Lord give thee wisdom and understanding, and give thee charge concerning Israel, that thou mayest keep the law of the Lord thy God. And he's urging his son to follow along in his ways. That is God's ways, not David's ways. I think David began to detect, I'm sure Bathsheba had detected in Solomon some of the traits of his father David. One of the traits was his weakness, probably in two different directions. One was in the direction of women, by the way. And if you want to find out the advice she gave to Solomon, here's the advice of David to Solomon. But if you want the advice of his mother, read the last chapter of Proverbs. And that's the advice of Bathsheba to her son Solomon. Now notice, then shalt thou prosper, if thou takest heed to fulfill the statutes and judgments which the Lord charged Moses with concerning Israel, be strong and of good courage. Dread not, nor be dismayed. He knew this boy would get discouraged. He knew that he would be a weakling. And he's now telling him, be a man. That was the important thing. Now, verse 14. Now behold, in my trouble, I have prepared for the house of the Lord 100,000 talents of gold and 1,000 talents of silver and of brass and iron without weight, for it's in abundance. timber also and stone have I prepared, and thou mayest add thereto. David said to him, you won't need to stint in building this temple. You won't have to cut corners. There's no shortage of material. And he said, in the days of my trouble, in the days that I have been king here, I've attempted to build up this kingdom. And in all that trouble, I was gathering material all the time for the temple. Don't you see, friends, that God had taken note of that? And God had rewarded David along that line, and that actually, he is a man after God's own heart. God wanted this. He wanted the spiritual part emphasized, and David wanted that above everything else. And by the way, what is really the goal of your life? What is the ambition that you have? We have a generation of young people without any purpose or goal in life whatsoever. Well, I think it's true. They've been brought up in homes of affluence and no Christian direction, no pointing out yonder to something that is worthwhile, something that is glorious, something that is great. These young people haven't been pointed in that direction. They weren't pointed that direction in their home. And my friend, the school is not doing its job. Now, I may sound to you like a heretic and a real revolutionary. I don't think it would hurt to close up many of our schools today. I don't think they're doing young people a bit of good whatsoever until moral training and direction and discipline is given. And I say to you, what is the purpose of living today? The suicides among young people. And then when you see them, that have become this hippie type over the world today, wandering around aimlessly, your heart goes out to them because somebody's failed. I think Papa and Mama failed. I think the schools have failed. I think the church has failed. May I say to you, at least old David's given direction to the boy. You got a worthy goal. Build God a house. What is your ambition today? Well, let me give you something that's given to me early in life. The question is, what is the chief end of man? That's in the catechism. I used to know it all. Don't now, but I remember this one. It's a good one. What is the chief end of man? The chief end of man is to glorify God and enjoy Him forever. That's worthwhile, friends. Oh, I wish today I could get you enthusiastic about not baseball or football or any kind of ball, but get you interested not in the things that are around us today. And frankly, I wish I could get you interested not even in church work. That may sound revolutionary also. I wish I could get you interested in Jesus Christ, His person. Say, He told me I'm going to be with Him forever. I tell you, and since He's God, currently His way is going to prevail, not mine. He's got something glorious in view. I haven't, because I don't know what's out there, but I'm interested. This is something we ought to be able to say with Paul, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Friends, David's a man after God's own heart, because he had something high and noble and lofty in mind. Now, notice what he says here. Verse 15, he says, moreover, there are workmen with thee in abundance, hewers and workers of stone and timber, and all manner of cunning men for every manner of work. See, he'd range with Hiram. Take care of all of the building, of the gold and silver and brass and iron, there's no number. Arise, therefore, and be doing, and the Lord be with thee. Get busy, young man. Here's a goal that's worthwhile. Now, verse 17, David also commanded all the princes of Israel to help Solomon, his son, saying, is not the Lord your God with you? And hath he not given you the inhabitants of the land into thine hand? And the land is subdued before the Lord and before his people. Now set your heart and your soul to seek the Lord your God. Arise, therefore, and build ye the sanctuary of the Lord God, to bring the ark of the covenant of the Lord and the holy vessels of God into the house that is to be built to the name of the Lord. Now, friends, whoever you are, wherever you are today, I don't care what you're doing. And I'm speaking to those that are Christians. You may have sunk down to a pretty low level in your living. Maybe that all you do in church work is gossip. Maybe all you do is find fault with the preacher. Maybe all you do is do nothing. That you're standing on the promises but sitting on the premises, as I heard this young country preacher say, and I thought it was pretty good. A lot of folk doing that. May I somehow or another today alert you? I like to stick a pin in and say to you today, oh, my friend, wake up, come alive, and move out toward Jesus Christ. And I don't care what you're doing. Tell him you want to go along with him, that you want to bring the spiritual into your life and make it important. Do something definite. Do something positive. Do something about it, friend. Don't just sit there. Just don't stand there. Do something right now. Have contact, a personal contact with Jesus Christ. And start going. Get busy. That's what David said to this boy Solomon. He really put a pin in him, let me tell you. Now chapter 23, David now makes Solomon king. So when David was old and full of days, somebody said, what would David die of? Well, he was full of days. That was his problem. That's a problem many of us have. He made Solomon his son king of Israel. Now, will you notice? He gathered together the Levites. He gathered together all the princes of Israel with the priests and the Levites. Now, the Levites were numbered from the age of 30 years and upward, and their number by their polls, man by man, was 30,000 and 8,000. Now, I think back in Numbers 4:48, we had, when they were numbered, when they came out of Egypt, there was 8,000. Now they're 38,000. And they've increased in number. God said they would multiply in spite of the judgment. Now we're told, of which 24,000 were to set forward the work of the house of the Lord, and 6,000 were officers and judges, and moreover 4,000 were porters, and 4,000 praised the Lord with instruments, which I made, said David, to praise therewith. Just think of that. David put a great emphasis on music. And you have them divided here into these three parts. And David divided them into courses among the sons of Levi, namely Gershon, Kohath, and Merari. They were the ones that brought up the tabernacle. Now they're given a new assignment by David in the temple. And from here on, they serve by courses. Now you have here the family of the Gershonites, the family of the Kohathites. They had carried the articles of furniture. The sons of Merari, and they carried the heavy stuff through the wilderness, you remember. And all of them are listed here, and I'm not going into that. Now you'll notice, verse 26, and also under the Levites, they shall no more carry the tabernacle, nor any vessels of it for the service thereof. Now, that which they were assigned at the beginning to carry the tabernacle through the wilderness, that's over with. And now they're going to have a new business. They're going to have a new assignment. And I wish today there's something we could learn. There are many very fine Christian organizations God raised up, and they served a purpose. Then God was through with them. And when God's through with a thing, he's through with it, friends. And yet there are people that try to preserve the old organization. And some of them are as dead as a dodo bird. They do not serve any purpose whatsoever. And it's time to get something new going. God moves out in a new way, and you have him here saying to the Levites, we're not going to be trotting around the wilderness anymore. We now have a temple, and your service is going to be different. Oh, to be doing something for God that is alive and moving. We need that today, friends. We're going to pick up at chapter 24 next time. May the Lord richly bless you, my beloved.
I'm sure Dr. McGee would be surprised at how alive this ministry is today. You know, we can't deny that God is surely moving as we continue the mission of taking the whole word to his whole world. Now, if you'd like to join us as we travel the world on our knees praying for God's will to be done through his word, we'd sure love to have you as a member of our world prayer team. You can find out more about this amazing group of committed prayer warriors and sign up for the journey when you visit ttb.org/pray. And remember, ttb.org is also the place to download a copy of this month's ministry newsletter. It contains some extra materials to help you get deeper in your study of Chronicles yourself. Or you can always call us at 1-800-65-BIBLE if you want to sign up to receive our monthly newsletter by mail. I'm Steve Schwetz, inviting you to join us next time for more great teaching from Dr. McGee here on Through the Bible.
Jesus made it home. Unto him I owe. Sin had left a crimson stain. He washed it white as snow.
Through the Bible is a 5-year study of God's entire Word, and together we discover God's purposes in history and our lives. Found only when we believe. You know what I mean?
In this life, you will have trouble. You can't avoid it. You can't get around it. But you can live through it.
Life is filled with so many ups and downs. Have you ever been there? One day you're smiling, the next day you're fighting to hold back your tears, to hide how you feel. So tired of faking, like everything is okay when you know it's not right.
You can't get
no sleep at night.
And now
you may be asking, 'cause you never imagined, how could this be God? This cannot be God.
This is what he told me.
Live through it.
He said, James,
grow through it.
You will
get through it.
You can make it.
You can make it if you just break through it. Don't let this be the end for you.
It's not the end. This is only temporary.
So live through it.
Hallelujah. It always hurts more when it's someone close to you.
Someone you love.
Yeah.
May have just let you down.
But don't worry.
It's not the end of the world.
You gotta understand.
God already knows everyone who would leave you. It's better this way. Don't beg them to stay.
They didn't deserve you.
Didn't see it coming. And now you feel broken.
This can't be God.
This cannot be God. I can only tell you what he told me.
God is saying,
live through it.
It's growing pains.
Grow through it.
Your family needs you to
get through it.
But here's the key.
You can make it if you just pray through it.
You gotta pray through
Don't
it.
Don't let this be the end for you.
God only allowed it because he knew you could survive.
WBC Coco, Merritt Island, 1510 AM, as well as W234BI Coco, Rockledge, 94.7 FM, W264AS Rockledge, Melbourne, Palm Bay, Indy Atlantic, Indian Harbor Beach, Satellite Beach, 100.7 FM, and W260CL Coco 99.9 FM.
Well, greetings in the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, who is worthy of all our honor and praise. I am Minister Gloria Ross, and I thank you for tuning into the broadcast of New Life Assembly of God. Hallelujah. We are located at 774 North Apollo Boulevard, and that's in Melbourne, Florida. Our telephone number where you can reach us is 321-255-6999. Our service time starts at 11 o'clock a.m. every Sunday. Now stay tuned to the broadcast.
Well, praise the Lord once again. We love you. We thank God for this great opportunity to come into your homes and wherever you are to tell you about the goodness of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. That Jesus is Lord. No matter what's going on in your life, my life, or any person that's having difficulties today, we want to pray for you right now and thank the Lord for his goodness, because truly he is good. Father, in the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, thank you so much for the goodness and the grace, the mercy and the love that you've passed on to all of us that believe and trust in you through your dear son Jesus. We ask that your will be done today as we welcome the great teacher, the Holy Spirit, the third person of the Godhead who teaches us all. He is the great teacher, and we welcome him this morning in this hour at this time that we will be taught by the Holy Spirit. We thank the Lord for everything. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
And amen. Praise God. Well, we want to look at what the Word of God is saying today in 1 John 5. And we thank God for this glorious opportunity that we can handle his word with a great deal of honesty and truth and not be deceitful in anything that we're doing, but to trust the Lord Jesus Christ. So we want to look at it in 1 John 5, and Minister Glory, we want to read in the 12th verse, because first of all, I want you to know that if you believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, that you will know whether you have eternal life or not. The scripture tells us that. And we need to believe and trust what the Word of God says. There are many mental battles that we all go through from time to time. But our faith is not in what's going on in our minds. Our faith is in the Lord Jesus Christ, the one that called us out of darkness into his marvelous light. He is the Savior, and he has saved us. Praise God. We want to just extend all of what the Word of God says to us, that he has done this mighty work. Not we ourselves. The Lord Jesus Christ, he suffered sickness and disease, circumstances, shortcoming, and grief and sorrow. He did it all there on the cross of Calvary. And our faith must be in him. The scripture tells us that in Galatians 3, it tells us that for we are all children of God by faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. Not in our performance or the things that we feel that we are able to do. Not in the disciplines that we have. Not in the visitation of the various churches that we go to. But our faith is in the Lord Jesus Christ. That's what makes us a child of the eternal God. And the scriptures validate that. As Apostle Paul was writing to the church of Galatia, and he said, for we are all children of God by faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. Faith is very important. You cannot please God without faith. The scripture tells us that in Hebrews 11 and verse 6. So we want to look at what the Word of God says and know that we have eternal life. So, Minister Gloria, would you read the 12th verse there? Praise God.
It says, "He that hath the Son has life, and he that has not the Son of God has not life."
Well, he's saying the Son of God. If you have the Lord Jesus Christ in your life by faith, you have eternal life. If you believe and trust in what the scripture is telling us, you will know, not guessing of whether you may or may not have eternal life. The scripture tells us that. And in the 13th verse, he said that you may know.
Yes. These things that I have written unto you.
Amen.
That believe on the name of the Son of God.
Yes.
That you may know that you have eternal life. And that you may believe on the name of the Son of God.
Amen. So that you may know that you have eternal life. And this is the confidence that we have. Praise God. If we know that we have received the Lord Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior of our lives, and we believe what the Word of God says, we know that we have eternal life. And this life is in the Son. Praise God. I don't mean the sun that shines in the heavens. I'm talking about the Son of the living God, the Lord Jesus Christ. Because the outset it says that he that has the Son, that's the S-O-N, and not S-U-N, because everybody have the S-U-N on various days when he's shining. When I'm speaking of the Son of God, praise the Lord. It may sound like a little cliche or humor, but I want to tell you that our faith is in the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen, because he is the one that has done the mighty work in all of our lives. We cannot save ourselves. He saved us. Praise God. And he will bring everything to closure when he comes. Are you expecting him today? Do you have the confidence that you believe that you have received the Son of God? That you surely can rest assured in your mind that you know that you have eternal life. And the Bible tells us here in the 13th verse, Minister Gloria, would read it?
14th verse. And this is a confidence that we have in him, that if, condition, we ask anything according to his will, he heareth us.
Now that is very important there, that if we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. Now that's very powerful there, because everything that we ask should be according to the will of God Almighty, according to his word, because his word is his will. And many times we are praying and we are asking the Lord for certain things, but it may not be directly according to his will. Well, we know that when we ask according to his will, that he's listening, that he's hearing what we are asking. And that's vitally important there, because if you're asking something of God and it's not according to his will, the scripture would tell us that, well, he's not listening to that.
That's right.
Now, that is in the inverse order. The right way is that when we ask according to God's will, he hears us. Now, that's what the scripture says. I believe that. That is why our prayers should be according to his will. We should approach the throne of grace to obtain mercy and find grace to help in the time of need according to the will of God. His word tells us, so in our heart we have the word of God. Out of our mouths should come the word of God. To our heavenly Father to be the word of God. And God's word cannot return unto him void. So if we ask according to his will, he hears us. So the scripture tells us there that this is the confidence that we have in him. That if we ask anything, Minister Glory, anything, according to his will,
according to his will, he hears us.
Now we cannot overlook being obedient. Because a lot of times people say, well, oh, he said I can ask anything according to his will and he hears us. But we must be obedient.
True.
You know, God blesses those that are obedient.
That's right.
You know?
Mm-hmm.
In Isaiah 1 and verse 19, he tells us that if we are willing and obedient, we will eat the good of the land.
That's right.
But if we refuse and rebel or be rebellious, we shall be devoured by the sword, for the mouth of the Lord has spoken.
Amen.
God wants us to be obedient. So we took that scripture there in 1 John 5 and verse 14, and we say, well, I have confidence that if I ask God anything according to his will, but I can do whatever I want to do. I don't have to live right, but I can quote this verse of scripture. Well, I want to tell you that it's not going to work for you. It's not going to work for you because God is looking for obedience. He's not looking for golden vessels or silver vessels. All he's looking for is a yielded vessel, a vessel that will yield to what his word says. In other words, and be obedient. So if we know that he hears us, then, Mr. Glory, we know that we have
petition.
The petition or the desire that we ask of him.
Amen.
Amen.
Mm-hmm. Amen.
We know that he hears us.
Yes.
So we ask. And we know that we have the petition.
You know, in 1 Peter 3 and 12, you know, the word of God says, the eyes of the Lord are over the righteous.
Yes.
And his ears are open unto their prayers.
Amen.
But the face of the Lord is against them that do evil. You hear that? His face is against those that do evil. So we want to be righteous in God and Jesus Christ. Hallelujah.
And want to be obedient to what,
obedient.
To what he's saying.
Amen.
And it's not things that are going our way or what we want to do. We depending through this obedience through the leadership of the Holy Spirit. Because the Holy Spirit is the one that is guiding and leading us according to Scripture. And we must believe that. We must believe that. That's because right. He is the teacher.
Yes.
He is the one that guiding and leading us into all truth.
Amen.
We thank God for that. Praise the Lord. In St. John 16 and verse 13, it tells us that. Praise the Lord. Minister Glory, would you read that?
John 16.
St. John 16, verse 13.
13. It says, howbeit, when he, the Spirit of truth, is come, he will guide you into all truth. And who's all truth but the Lord Jesus Christ? For he shall not speak of himself, but whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak. And he will show you things to come.
Praise God. So then, when we look at the scriptures, because the Bible tells us that the progressive revelation of the word of God is not just a stagnant word, it's progressive. And when we look at what the word of God is telling us, he and he alone will guide and lead us. He is the Spirit of truth. And when we believe that we have received what is written, what's been given to us through Apostle Paul, by the power of the Holy Spirit, we can talk to God and say, Lord, I thank you. I thank you for your grace and your mercy and everything, because I know that if I ask anything according to his will, well, I want to tell you this morning, well, healing is the will of God.
Amen.
You may have problems in your life. You may be going through different situations or circumstances. But healing is the will of God. I said healing is the will of God. Mm-hmm. And if you believe what the word says and talk to your Heavenly Father about it and be steadfast and unmovable and always abounding in what the word of God is saying to you, you can have exactly what God says that you could have. Because his word cannot return to him void. We know that when we ask according to his will, that he's listening. Praise God. Thank God that he's listening. There may be a lot of people out there that won't listen to what you're saying, but God is listening. And that, and that's the most important thing, that our Heavenly Father is listening to what we're asking him. Now, Minister Glory, it says here in Scripture that this is the confidence, this is the assurance. We know that he hears us.
Amen.
We know that we have eternal life because we have the Son.
Amen.
Amen. And he that has the Son has life. Praise God. So what is taking place here is that the confidence that we have in him, if we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. And when we know that he hears us, we know that we have the petition which we desire of him. So what is happening is that obedience is part of the equation here.
Yes.
And when we ask according to his will in obedience, the Lord hears us.
Yes.
And he blesses us with the desire that we have or ask of him.
Yep. Amen.
Amen. Praise God. You have another? Praise the Lord. So, thank God for his word and what it says to us as children of God. Now, I want to say something else here, that the scriptures are clear concerning what God has said to us. And this is why we must be obedient to what the word of God says. We know that he that has the Son has life. We know that if we believe in what he has said. Now, Jesus said in, St. John 1 and verse 12, praise God.
Amen.
And I strongly believe that every one of us, even out there in radio land, we must believe what God's word says.
Amen.
The enemy will try and discourage you, or perhaps speak to you and tell you that you don't have. But when we know that what God has said to us as children of God, that we could walk in what he said.
Amen.
And that his, it is his will. And I believe what the word says. The word is the final authority in every one of us that believe and trust in the Lord. In all of our lives, the word should be the final authority. And every lie that the enemy will speak to try and discourage you, you know who you are in Christ Jesus, that you have received the Son of God into your heart, and that you have just what the word of God says that you have. And the enemy cannot deter you from walking according to the will of the eternal God. Now, I'm not saying that it's an easy process, because there are a lot of fights that are going on between our two ears. In other words, in our soul. And what is happening is that the enemy will speak lies and try to tell us, perhaps some, to tell us that we're not saved, because of, if we make a mistake or do something that may not be right, so to speak. And he will speak to you and tell you, you're not saved. Well, I want to tell you something out there in radio land. If he's going to tell me that I'm not saved, he's definitely not going to tell me how I should get saved. Because I believe what the word of God says, and I rebuke every thought that will come into my mind that is not of God. I cast it down. Because what happened, Minister Glory, is that the battle is between our two ears, so to speak, or in the mind.
In the mind. Mm-hmm.
And this is why we know that we have the mind of Christ.
Praise God.
And we're going to let the mind of Christ be in us, just as what the word of God said. That's God's will.
Mm-hmm.
Amen.
Amen.
I said, that's God's will.
Yes.
He said, and let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. Now, we know as a child of God that the thoughts that come in our mind, we have to find out where they originated from.
Right.
And many people don't realize that most of the thoughts that come into your mind they're not yours.
No.
And we fail to understand that. They're not yours.
Yeah.
Because if you really look at it, the enemy is trying to use your mind, mm-hmm. and God is using your mind.
Yes.
Amen. Mm-hmm. So what's happening is that we want to walk and lean according to what the mind of Christ tells us.
Yes.
Now, you remember reading, I think it's in the Romans 6 there, if you want to look at that for a moment. Go to Romans 6 there, and mm-hmm. I think it says there, whom you yield your members to, you become a servant of it.
Yes.
You know?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
You remember reading that?
Yes. Yes.
Praise God. Mm-hmm. So, we don't want to yield anything that are contrary to what God's word says.
Yes. Hallelujah.
We don't want to do that. We want to be led by the Holy Spirit. And it's not just a word that we're using. I'm talking about the third person of the Godhead who guides and leads us into all truth. Into all truth. Now, I had mentioned St. John 1 and verse 12.
Right, but I wanted to read Romans 6 and 13, so
okay.
Confirm the scripture. Neither yield ye your members of instruments of unrighteousness unto sin, but yield yourselves unto God as though that are alive from the dead, and your members as instruments of righteousness unto God.
Amen. Instruments. Mm-hmm. You know, an instrument. You have to use an instrument. Just like a trumpet player, he uses an instrument. So we want to use the word of God. Amen. It's an instrument. Praise the Lord. So I remember when we were talking about a situation there, and like a lot of things develop out of a simple conversation, and before you know anything, a third person comes in that is speaking things that are contrary to what the word of God says. We must be mindful at all times who enter into our conversation.
Yes.
And I'm speaking from a source that is not physically standing there with us, but he's a spirit. Mm-hmm. He comes in to discourage and perhaps try and tear down a situation. But I thank God that he has said in his word that we that know him, that the weapons of our warfare are not carnal. See, it is spiritual warfare.
That's right.
That's going on. It
surely is.
And it's taking place in the mind and in the soul there. And what's happening is that every thing that will try and come into our mind, we must cast it down,
right,
as the scripture said. We must bring those thoughts. And a lot of thoughts that enter in our mind, they're not our thoughts.
No.
You may think that they're your thoughts. Very few thoughts that come in our mind that originate from our own thinking.
Yes.
These thoughts that comes in, it's either of the enemy or the Holy Spirit.
That's true.
One or the other are trying to use our mind to keep us doing the right thing, so to speak. Mm-hmm. So it says here that in 2 Corinthians 10 and verse 5,
yes,
it talks about casting down imagination or reasoning. You see, what it is that when you have the Son of God, you have eternal life. And by having eternal life, then you undoubtedly must allow the Holy Spirit to guide and lead you. And what happened is that the word of the eternal God must be in your heart and in your soul. Praise God. Because if you yield to these other thoughts that comes into your mind, and a lot of discouraging thoughts, and that's not of God. God is not discouraging us.
No.
Anything, he's encouraging us.
Amen.
Concerning what he has said to us in his word. Mm-hmm. So, Minister Gloria, read the fifth verse there.
It says, casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalted itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ.
You see that we are responsible for our thoughts that come into our mind. And we are to, every negative thought must be put in prison, so to speak, must be brought into captivity. Every thought unto the obedience of Christ. And this is why when you have the Son of God, you have life. Mm-hmm. and you are able to know that you have this eternal life and that the Word of God should be in your heart and in your mind, where no matter what comes into your mind, you will be able to decipher whether it is of God or not of God, and not to entertain these thoughts that's not of God.
Mm-hmm.
That's why cast them down.
Yes.
And it's not just an event. It's a day-to-day process.
Mm-hmm.
Because all during the course of the day, different kinds of thoughts are coming into your mind as a child of God. Well, I'm speaking to brothers and sisters that know the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, folks that do not know the Lord, all kinds of thought, they're being governed by one set of rules, and that's coming from their spiritual father, which is Satan. And the thing is that they are his, he is their father, so he's flooding or cluttering their minds with evil thoughts and all kinds of things that's going on. But as a child of God, having eternal life, knowing that you are a child of God by faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, what happens is that we cast those thoughts down.
Amen.
Because we are born of God.
Hallelujah.
Well, before we close out this broadcast, I want Minister mm-hmm. Glory to extend that invitation.
That if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved by faith in Jesus' name.
Right where you are, you can call on the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and ask him into your heart, and he will come in and save your soul. God bless you all out there. Radio Land is my prayer. Stay tuned for the next broadcast. In Jesus' name, amen.
You've been listening to the Salvation and Deliverance Outreach, brought to you by New Life Assembly of God Church, located at 774 North Apollo Boulevard in Melbourne. Their number is 321-255-6999. You also can write New Life Assembly of God Church at Post Office Box 2303, Melbourne, Florida 32902. Be with us again at the same time next week for another program, Salvation and Deliverance Radio Out. Trash.